No-Nose Nelson, Strayhorn, Teach, Decker, and Paulie Moore waited in the dark alongside the track.
What makes you so sure the train is going to stop here?
The train has to have water, don't it?
I reckon so.
No-Nose pointed to the water tower that stood alongside the railroad tracks.
Well, there's the water. That means the train will stop.
I sure wish the moon wasn't so bright.
Don't worry none about the moon. Once we have what we come for, we'll be able to ride out here with no problem. There won't be nobody following us.
The money, you mean?
What?
You said once we have what we came for. You talking about the money, right? This train is carrying a lot of money.
I don't know.
You don't know? What do you mean you don't know? What the hell are we doing here if you don't know whether or not the train is carrying any money?
Because we ain't here for the money.
That's it. I ain't standing out in the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night waiting to rob a train that ain't carrying no money.
Teach is right, No-Nose. You said you'd tell us what you had in mind when the time came. Well, seems to me like the time's come.
Here it comes. You may get in position to stay out of sight until I give the word.
What are we doing here, No-Nose? If we ain't robbing this train, what are we doing here?
I tell you this, just go along with me, and there'll be more money than you can imagine.
All right. We come this far, we may as well see it through. But if this turns out to be nothing, you don't have to worry about the law coming after you, No-Nose, because I'll kill you my own self.
Damn, I can hear it, but I still don't see no train yet.
You will, just keep looking that way.
Remember, nobody makes a move until I give the order. We don't want to take a chance on being seen.
No-Nose walked up onto the track and stayed there until all the others were in position. He looked to see if any of them could be seen from the approaching train. Then, satisfied that they could not, he ran back down to join them. He watched the train approach. The train got slower and slower still, until finally it approached the water tower. The engineer brought his train to a stop in exactly the right place. By now, the fireman was already standing on the tender, reaching for the line that hung down from the curved mouth of the long waterspout.
Now!
All five men rushed toward the engine. The engineer, who was leaning out the cab window, saw the men approaching and jumped back with a start.
Who are you? What do you want?
We want you to climb down from that engine.
No-Nose pointed his pistol at the fireman, who was standing on the tender, taking on water.
Because if you don't, we're going to kill your fireman.
No, don't shoot him. I'm coming down.
The engineer climbed down onto the ground alongside the track and stood there beside the huge engine as it continued to vent steam through its relief valve.
I don't know why you stopped our train. We ain't carrying any money.
I know you ain't carrying no money. That ain't what we're after.
Well, then, I don't understand. What are you after?
We're after the person that's in that private car.
Are you serious? There's nobody in that car but one young woman.
Yeah, the governor's niece.
The governor's niece? That's what we came here for?
Yeah.
Why?
Think about it. Remember when I asked you how much money the governor has?
Yes.
Well, we're about to get some of it. I figure the governor's gonna be willing to pay a lot to get her back.
When the train made the stop for water, Lane, who was asleep in the bedroom of the governor's private car, was only vaguely aware. She was too comfortable and too tired from all the packing and the preparation for her return to Cairo to pay too much attention to it. Lane thought of the fireman standing there in the middle of the night and, by contrast, it made her own condition seem even more comfortable. She was not aware of the drama being played out just outside the train. Even as she was drifting back to sleep, No-Nose, Strayhorn, and Teach were climbing onto the private car. The car was dimly lit by two low-burning gimbal-mounted lanterns, one on either side. The lanterns illuminated the luxuriousness of the car, the plush sofa, the overstuffed chairs, and a table on which sat a silver tray of pastries.
Whew, damn! Would you look at this? You ever see a railroad car like this before?
No. Pay attention to what you're doing.
Suddenly, a porter appeared from a small corridor at the back of the car.
What's going on here? What are you men doing on this car?
Where's she at?
Get off this car!
Inside the small bedroom, Lane was awakened by the loud sound of the gunshot. She sat up in her bed.
Oh, what is it? What's going on?
Suddenly, the door to the bedroom compartment was jerked open. She opened her mouth to scream, but one of the men stuck the barrel of his gun in her mouth.
If you scream, I'll pull the trigger.
Lane stared at him with eyes that were wide open with fear, but she made no sound.
That's a good girl. Now get up. What'd you say?
I said I'm not dressed. I'm still in my nightgown.
Well, get dressed. We'll wait.
I'll have to take my nightgown off.
Then do it.
But I don't have anything on under my nightgown.
Good. Do it, or I'll shoot you here now.
Lane pulled the nightgown over her head, exposing her nudity.
Damn, Strayhorn. Look at that. I ain't never seen nothing like that.
You've seen naked women before.
All I ever seen was whores. I might have thought I'd seen naked women before, but I tell you true, I ain't never seen nothing like this.
Finally, with every inch of her skin burning in embarrassment, Lane got dressed. She looked at the men who were ogling her.
What now?
Damn, you come with us.
Hey, no. Seeing her naked like that has got me all excited here. Are we going to have us any fun with this woman here?
It all depends.
It depends on what?
Whether or not the governor pays what we're going to ask him.